Our study this morning is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 16 to chapter 9, verse 5, righteous handling of the donations. False teachers claiming to be apostles had entered the church of Corinth, and they had tried to promote their own views while discrediting the person and message of the apostle Paul. This was a difficult situation for Paul. His readers were immature believers who had been saved out of corrupt backgrounds in a city known for its vice. So they were easy prey for false teachers, and Paul had to be careful how he handled the situation, lest his readers think that he was being unjustly defensive and thus discredit himself. Accordingly, on the subject of giving of one's money, Paul could not afford to appear to be unrighteous before believers who had been led to doubt his character, and who might think that he was trying to influence them for his own interests of greed. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 16 to 9:5, Paul gave insight on rightly handling the donations that had come in. So we view the passage for our insight, our application, and edification as follows. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have of meeting together this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God, and who ministers in a variety of ways to illumine the Word of God to us that He authored through holy men of God, who equips us to discern and to apply the Word of God. We ask for wisdom to use each one of those important ministries of the Spirit of God to understand the text and to use it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Righteous handling of the donations. The timing of this is tremendous. Last Sunday, the giving was $32,903. That's a record in the history of our church. I don't think it's ever been that high. No, I know during my tenure. So, you know, it's one thing. People get involved in giving. They like to give. And that's a lot of money. The question is, now what do we do? How do we handle this in a way that is righteous before the Lord? So this passage is important. I want to read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 16 to 9:5. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent him with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And that not only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brothers, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show you to them, and before the churches, the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. For as touching the ministering of the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf. But as I said, you may be ready, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Paul obtained the help of several credible representatives to handle the donations of the churches. This is very important. There needs to be, the people who are handling the money have to have credible reputations. They have to have a reputation behind them. They're good. And you have to have multiple representatives and different representatives from different aspects of the people who are making the donations. Well, Paul's co-worker, Titus, was very concerned about the spiritual welfare of the believers in Corinth, and he was highly motivated by his own initiative to want to be involved in handling their collections. The motive on Titus's part served to handle the giving of Paul's readers with utmost integrity. Accompanying Titus was another unnamed believer who was highly respected by all the churches represented in the collection for the Jerusalem believers. That's important. These people who had given from other churches had a lot of confidence in this other brother. They didn't, maybe they didn't know Titus that well, but they knew this other brother very well. This other brother, it could have been Apollos, we don't know. But there was a lot of trust in that particular believer. In addition, this unnamed believer had actually been chosen by the contributing churches and not by Paul's ministry team to accompany Paul's team as they transported the collections to Jerusalem. So the involvement of this man honored the Lord and demonstrated the eagerness of Paul's team to help the transfer of monies from the churches to the Jerusalem saints, that it would be marked by integrity. Paul stressed his goal to handle the monies in a way that not only pleased God, but was also upright in the eyes of all the people that were involved. Money is a delicate issue. It's a delicate thing. It always has been. Here it is in the early church. You can see Paul bending over backwards to make sure that there's complete credibility in the handling of the monies. We need to do the same today. Money is what people use for their livelihood. And so when people donate of their monies to the Lord's work, it's very important to have correct checks and balances there. A third believer, Paul's partner and fellow worker, was appointed to join the collection party, adding another layer of security in the handling of the collections. He was apparently an appointee of the Macedonian churches and would take their gift to its destination in Jerusalem. This man had proved to Paul's team his zeal for the Lord, a man who also had great confidence in Paul's readers and who would obviously then handle the collection in an upright way. It's interesting. In those days when they traveled, there were robbers about. So if you had one guy holding a great big sack up here, it was like an advertisement to robbers, come rob me. I guess, you know, they would know something's in the sack. So you have multiple people like this. They would take a portion of the money, and they would agree amongst themselves as to how much one particular man had, and they would have a record of it. He would put that money on himself, and then the others would put the money on themselves as well, in agreement. So when they traveled, they didn't look like anybody was carrying a big bag anywhere. And of course, they had loose clothing so they could hang a lot of the stuff on the inside of them. So they were not advertising that they had a lot of wealth with them at all. In fact, a lot of them might have been just modestly dressed. So they were not an attraction for robbers that were around. So it was important for more than one reason for there to be a division of handlers of the money. Paul then took steps to ensure that the donation that had not been performed by his readers might occur in an edifying way, as influenced by the men who were handling the collections. That's in chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. On the one hand, Paul's readers at Corinth had eagerly begun to want to give toward the material needs of the Judean believers. So Paul's readers had enthusiastically agreed to be involved in this ministry. Their motivation to give, when reported by Paul to the Macedonian believers, had stirred the Macedonians to make their donation for the Jerusalem believers. So Paul had shared the news that the Corinthians were eager to give, though the Corinthians hadn't given yet. Well, when news of this got to the Macedonians, they went ahead and gave right away. So now Paul says, okay, we're kind of over a barrel, y'all. Everybody heard about your motivation to give. But you haven't given yet. So we're going to encourage you to go ahead and give, because otherwise I'm going to be red-faced. The Macedonians are going to be red-faced, and you're going to be red-faced if you haven't actually given after news of your report of desire to give is given. So they're kind of backed into a corner here. So the Corinthians had not yet transferred their initial giving intent into the act of giving. It's one thing to say, I'm going to give. It's another thing to actually give. So part of the ministry of Titus and the other two believers who were handling the contributions involved not only their handling the collections of the churches, but also of encouraging the Corinthian believers to convert their initial intent to give into making the actual donation. Now, it's interesting here. They're not trying to squeeze the people to give. What they're doing is they're saying, you have made that commitment, and now we're here to take that contribution up so that when Paul and the Macedonians come, it's not going to be an embarrassment to you, it's not going to be an embarrassment to Paul or to these other people. So they're just letting these people know. They're not trying to squeeze the money out of them. They're just trying to have them live up to the commitment that they had made. Now, Paul had boasted to the Macedonians that the Corinthians were willing to make their donations, so he was sending these reputable handlers of the donations to spur the Corinthians to give as they had intended to do, that Paul might not be embarrassed in having made an empty boast about them when arriving along with the believers from Macedonia and finding the Corinthians not having made their donation. So, sending the collection handlers ahead of himself to prepare the Corinthian believers to make their donation, Paul intended that before he and his Macedonian companions arrived, the Corinthians would have made their donation so that everybody involved in the matter could relax and rejoice. See, Paul didn't want any collections made when he was there. He wanted that to be something that was a done deal so that it wouldn't become a big issue. And that's very important, trying to make money not a big issue, and that by taking precautions ahead of time that we have multiple people, credible people, handling the donations, and that the donations be made in an expeditious manner that edifies everybody. So the lesson is, Paul involves several credible representatives of the donating churches to handle the collections and to prepare those whose pledge to give was known actually to give, lest their lack of giving be an embarrassment to everyone. So may we take care to give and handle the collections of believers in ways that edify all relationships. It's very, very important to have that, something that is settled. And I think it was Robert Frost, the poet laureate from here in New England, in one of his poems, he said, good fences make good neighbors. In a way, there's a lot of truth to that. If you have a very clear line of demarcation between the neighbors, that's his yard, that's your yard, then you don't get into problems. But if you don't, and sometimes this neighbor mows over to this guy's yard, sometimes this neighbor mows over to that one, so they can create some tensions. But the same with the matter of giving. We need to have clear boundaries, clear clarifications as to representatives who are involved in looking over the donations and whatnot, and making sure that the donations are given in a way not that is squeezing people for their money, but just calling them to be accountable before the Lord to stick with the commitment that they had made on giving, so that giving ceases to be an issue. This is something that we've always wanted at NEPOG, and we're still striving towards this, is to make giving something that is a blessing. It's not a burden. It's not a rite of passage or anything like that. It's something that is part of our act of worship before the Lord. And so we value the contributions that people make. We treat them as the money that belongs to the Lord. In fact, as soon as the money goes into the box, from my perspective, whether I'm the one that's donating or someone else, we consider that's the Lord's money. Okay, now what do we have to do? We have to be good stewards of what belongs to God and what God has received from his people. And if we have that kind of attitude, then like Paul says, we have a clear conscience before God and man, so that there are no questions that are involved. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on this particular subject. Doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up and you would like to discuss it, we'll seek to address that from Scripture.